the 103rd Psalm. And today we are going to examine the topic, Christian Must Give Thanks. A very obvious title for today, because today is Thanksgiving Sunday. An excellent tradition of Tabernacle PP Church to remind us that all Christians must give thanks. Thanksgiving Sunday ought not to be the way some people celebrate Father's Day and Mother's Day. For how often we hear mothers and fathers complaining that the only Mother's Day that they have is on Mother's Day. The rest of the other day, the children seem to forget about their parents, isn't it? On Mother's Day, well, it's the best day because children will treat mothers and on Father's Day, the fathers, exceptionally well. They will go out and celebrate, they will do their house chores, and they will make the parents to feel like the most privileged people on planet Earth. But the very next day, the children are rude again. The children forget to thank their parents, and the children disobey the instructions which their parents lay down for them for their own good. Now, this ought not to be the case for us also. When we commemorate Thanksgiving Sunday, it's not because Thanksgiving should be confined only to this particular Sunday, or that this particular Sunday we ought to thank the Lord even greater than all other Sundays or all other days of our pilgrim journey here on this earth. Rather, it is to remind us that every single day, every single moment of our lives, we ought to be in the attitude of thanksgiving towards our Lord. This is something that is taught in the Holy Scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which I believe many of you are familiar with, Paul teaches us that in everything we should give thanks, for it is the will of God concerning us. That scripture alone is very rich and we can spend quite some time considering that particular verse. But that is not the only basis why we should give thanks to God. The whole theology of thanksgiving can be found in the entire book of the Bible. God willing, next year, sometime in March, 19th of March, when we have the English Bible Seminar, we will study the theology of giving, which is actually only a portion of the whole theology of thanksgiving. Today, when we look into Psalm 103, please take note that it cannot cover everything. Every single reason why Christians must give thanks. What it can do is to highlight certain reasons why we Christians must give thanks every moment of our lives. This Psalm, Psalm 103, is written by David. And this tells us something. We are now going through a series on the life of David, 1 Samuel. And we know that David is the man after God's own heart. And all Christians should be men after God's own heart. What this tells us, therefore, when we read this psalm, and it says here, a psalm of David, is that this psalm is not just confined to only super Christians. It's as though there's one species of Christians, or one particular class of Christians, that every day of their life they should be praising God and giving thanks to God. No. But this particular psalm, when it says here, a psalm of David, serves as a reminder that all of us who are called Christians should say the same things as what David say in this particular verse, and that is to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. When the word bless is used with respect to the Lord, when we say bless the Lord, it is not the same way as the Lord blessing us. When we say bless the Lord here, the word bless carries the understanding that we should give all praise and thanks to God, for he alone is worthy of all our worship. It's not any other person that we are blessing down here. It is the Lord that we are rendering our thanks. And this thanks ought to come from our soul. The soul meaning our inner man. Right here, we see here synonymous parallelism, two same ideas placed in the two halves of the same verse. First half, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then the second half, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. The same idea, telling us that when you have thanksgiving, when a Christian gives thanks, firstly, it must come from our hearts. It's not something that is mechanical. It's not something that is superficial. The reason why we give thanks is truly we are so filled with joy and gratefulness towards our great God. This does not mean that it is not manifested in external actions. Sometimes people use this whole concept of the inner man of the heart to justify a lack of action in their life. Now, that is not how we should understand this verse. If we truly say that we really want to give thanks to the Lord from our hearts, it will surely manifest itself with the right conduct in our lives. In today's weekly, you will see that there are two articles that are published, written by, or rather preached by, Reverend Timothy Toh, the founding pastor of the Bible Presbyterian Church. And if you look at page 2, you will realize he aptly summarizes for us how indeed we should give thanks, how indeed we should bless the Lord. And you will realize that, yes, while it starts from the heart, it will manifest itself in action. He summarizes it in this way: how should we give thanks? Firstly, with our lips, which we do every Lord's Day when we come here, when we sing to the Lord, we are worshipping Lord with our lips. Of course, our singing that we sing unto the Lord should come from grateful and cheerful hearts. And because we are so grateful and joyful in the Lord, therefore we praise Him with our psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Then you see with our knees, then you see with our hands, and then you see, lastly, with our whole body. For we are called to present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That will be in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. On the other hand, if we do not have grateful hearts, sooner or later, it will be manifested in our actions. You look at page 2, the first one. First point, familiarity breeds contempt. And here, Reverend Toh was talking about an incident in Luke chapter 17 about the 9 lepers and... Oh, sorry, the 10 lepers, of which 9 refused to, or did not turn back to render thanks unto the Lord Jesus Christ after they were healed. And here he wrote, Jesus being also a Jew, these 9 lepers took him for granted. Jesus said on an earlier occasion, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Luke chapter 4, verse 24. A Cantonese proverb is, local ginger is not hot. A Singapore pastor is slightly esteemed in Singapore. Jesus did not summon the ungrateful 9 to give thanks. Why? Because thanksgiving cannot be commanded. Thanksgiving must come from the heart. Since they do not want to give thanks, so be it. Thanksgiving cannot be commanded. Once there was a father who demanded his 9 sons to sign that they would love him in his old age, but love must spring spontaneously from the heart. It's useless to command, right? When I am old, when I reach this particular age called 80, you better come and give thanks to me. That's not the way. Even if they do come and give thanks to you, if it does not come from the heart, what point is it for them to come and show filial piety to you? No point. So, the next paragraph he wrote, on the other hand, the 9 Jews who were cleansed but forgot their master might relapse. Ingratitude, says Shakespeare, is like the biting winter's wind. In the warning Jesus gave to the healed 38-year paralytic not to sing anymore, lest a worse thing come to him. Is there no lesson for the ungrateful? Now turn also to page 4. Here again, he wrote how ungrateful hearts can easily result in actions that are not right. Thirdly, thanksgiving should isolate the downright insolent nominal members of the church so it can be seen. And it would show it, and it would reveal your spiritual immaturity. These are they who have grown rich and powerful under the aegis of devout parents, like Esau under the benignity of his father Isaac. These who have never thanked the Lord from the heart on an occasion for thanksgiving demand rather than the Lord thank them. What travesty of Christian logic! Once a poor country pastor approached a big town elder for a donation to his church building fund. Because this servant of God did not flatter and fawn, the self-esteeming elder told him off. Here's $50, for that's all you are worth. Take it or leave it. Did the elder realize that in so doing, he was not insulting men but God? Indeed, very true. Now, when we talk about this, Reverend Timothy Toh is not saying that all pastors should go about looking for a big money paycheck. That is what some mega churches try to teach, and that is giving a very bad name to Christianity. That is woe and betide to any preacher or any pastor who will come and demand that the congregation pay them a big fat salary. All who are in the full-time ministry of the word should never, ever ask for more money. On the other hand, the way you give also shows your heart, isn't it? If you are able, and it's not the amount that you give, for we know that in the Gospels, Jesus commended one particular poor lady who, though in the eyes of the world, may seem to give a very small amount that is so insignificant, yet because she gave her all, right, Jesus said that this lady's faith should be commended. On the other hand, when the Lord has blessed us with so much, and then we are so stingy even to give to the Lord, it really shows our heart, isn't it? Because it's really not giving unto the Lord, isn't it? It is returning what manifold blessings the Lord has blessed us with. Whatever that we have originally belongs to the Lord. And so if the Lord requests that we should return some of the very much that He has given to us, should we not do so? And so, this particular incident revealed the heart of this particular self-esteeming elder. And we pray that we do not have such hearts. Tithing and offering is just one way in which this can be seen. It can also be seen in our service to Him. When we are slack in our service, when we are cold in our singing, all these are telltale signs that our hearts are not filled with thanksgiving unto the Lord. On the other hand, it doesn't mean that if a person seems to be full of activity and service to the Lord, means that the person is necessarily blessing the Lord from his soul, because he may do it out of a matter of routine, he may do it out of a matter of trying to cover up with his own sin, as though by serving the Lord, all his sins and iniquities which he committed can be covered up, can be forgotten. And that he can continue to sin against God with impunity without repenting from his sin. That is not what it means here by bless the Lord, O my soul. If we give our tithe and offering, and then we give it without hearts that are cheerful, then we are not blessing the Lord from our soul. When we give our tithes and our offering, when we render our service to Him, whether be it the preaching from God's word, or whether be it even the assembling of the chairs, putting of the hymn books, whatever that we do, must come from the inner man. Because of the Lord, that's why we are doing this. And all these things forms part of what it means to render our thanksgiving unto God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And so therefore, if some of the young people here get married, and then you have a solemnizer, please do not give the solemnizer $2. This ever happened before. The solemnizer gave this pastor, who has now departed, $2. And of course, this person is not like the lady in the Gospel of Luke. Definitely, this person must be well endowed with riches. The pastor gave counseling. The pastor prayed for him. The pastor supported him all the way in his marriage. In the end, after giving the message, $2. It shows how lightly the person esteemed not only just the pastor, but more importantly, the Word of God, and not just that, but also the Lord Himself. So don't do that. So any young people here getting married, please take note. It's not that the solemnizer is looking for money, no. In fact, if the solemnizer knows that you are suffering and you're struggling to meet ends meet, he probably will say, well, you can take and use it for your own, but make sure you use it for the Lord's glory. But please, all these things review our heart, whether or not we are truly filled with thanksgiving unto the Lord. And so here he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, why bless the Lord then? Firstly, because of who he is. That must be the starting point. Because of his holy name. And we know that the name of God reveals his character and his attributes and his nature. And here, David himself reminds us that we should bless the holy name of God. Now, why holy? It's not just that the Lord's name is without sin and iniquity, but this word holy also refers to how God's name is set apart, consecrated from all other names in this world. His name is unique. His name is far above all other names in this world. There is no greater name than the name of God, because it reveals how great, how infinitely great God is. No one can compare to him. For God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And simply because God is above all, there is none that can be compared to him. This gives us the very basis why we ought to praise him and give thanks to him. And so before we even look at verse 2, which is talking about how we should praise the Lord and give thanks to him because of his dealings with us, we must always remember this is subsumed under the big umbrella that we ought to praise God and give thanks to him simply for who he is. Simply because he is God. And with that in mind, then you consider how, right, the Lord blesses us. Just now we sing the song, Count Your Blessings. Very appropriate. Because here God's word says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And here David adds on, why? And forget not all his benefits. Now, when we look at the verse, and forget not all his benefits, please do not think of it this way, like, oh, I will only bless the Lord because I receive benefits. If I don't receive benefits, so therefore I don't bless the Lord. Not, we should not have this kind of thinking. It's almost akin to the worldly thinking. Now, if the government gives me a lot of carrots to eat, I will vote in the government and I will praise the government. Or like some children, right? When children receive gifts and good things from their parents, well, they are very happy and give thanks to the parents. When the parents say, no, I'm not going to buy you a new handphone, I'm not going to buy you this, I'm not going to buy you that, you get very angry with the parents and forget all what the parents had done for them. That is ingratitude. The Chinese have a very good saying, right? 饮水思源. Well, this is a good restatement of this verse. When you remember, when you drink of the water, you must remember the source. And this word benefits, why is it actually comes from a word that talks about God's dealings with us. Right? It's actually a general word that talks about dealings. So it's not a matter of whether we view these things as good or bad. No matter how God deals with us, right, we must give thanks. Of course, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Right, to them who are called according to His purpose. Good is good, bad is also good. But why then did the King James translators render this word benefits down here? Well, because if you look at the context from verses 3 to 5, you will realize that all these things are the various blessings which the believers receive from the Lord and will continue to receive. Now, what are these blessings? Now, take note of all the verbs. Right? In verse 3, we see the word forgiveth. Then, also the word healeth. Then, the verb redeemeth in verse 4. And then, after that, the verb crowneth. And then, after that, the word satisfieth. And then, the word renewed. Now, all these verbs, they are actually participles. And when we talk about participles, they actually emphasize on an action that is continuing. So it's not just something that you have experienced in the past. But it's something that you are now still experiencing and will continue to experience throughout your life. It's a continuing blessing from the Lord. And so what kind of benefits did we receive from the Lord? Verse 3 tells us how He forgiveth all our iniquities, right? And this surely should cause us great rejoicing, isn't it? Once we were His enemies, yet now we are the children of God. We don't deserve this forgiveness, and yet in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received salvation that is so rich and so free. And that alone, right, should cause us to give thanks to the Lord. For if not, we are lost, isn't it? What have we done to deserve this salvation? And yet the Lord loves us. Yet the Lord forgives us of all our sins. And even when we are Christians, we still continue to sin against the Lord, isn't it? And yet the Bible tells us that we have such an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always forgiveness with God. That wherever we repent of our sins, He is always faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Surely that is basis for us to give thanks to God. Not only just that, but He also healeth all thy diseases. Now, our health, right, should be a great reason for rejoicing. For health is also a gift from God. Even the simple cold, right, sometimes we recover. When we recover, we just forget. Oh, it's so common. Take some antibiotics, take some medicine to control our symptoms, and then we just rest for a while, and then it's over. Forgetting that the Lord is the one who ultimately heals us. But then, some of you may ask, right now I'm suffering from disease, I am not healed yet. Then why should I give thanks? And moreover, here God's word says, healeth all thy diseases. My disease is not healed. Oh, God's word, there is a mistake. Well, here does not just look at the diseases that we have been healed in the past, but here also looks forward to the future. Where God says, right, in the prophecy of Isaiah, that by Christ's stripes we shall be healed. Now, what does that mean? Well, when Christ saves us, He not only saves our soul, but he also saves our body. And in the future, right, we will all receive our glorified bodies, free from all sickness, free from all pain. Well, that would be the ultimate healing of all our diseases, isn't it? Do you not look forward to that day? And do you not want to give thanks to God that already this healing is guaranteed for you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, how wonderful, isn't it? And not only just that, but God's word tells us who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And here the word destruction has this understanding of redeeming us from also the grave. Well, when people lie in the grave, for the unbelievers, that will be the sealing of eternal death for them. But for us, it is just commencements of life with the Lord Jesus Christ above. How wonderful, isn't it? That we as Christians, we are given eternal life. But not just that, but God's word adds here, who crowneth thee, well, as though it is an ornament around us. And what is this ornament? Well, with loving kindness and tender mercies. Not just mercy, but mercies. For these mercies which God shows to us every morning, they are so new, they are so fresh, and they are so bountiful. When we get up of bed every morning, do we give thanks for the breath of life that we have? Have we ever asked ourselves, what have we done to deserve another day of service for the Lord? And yet the Lord grants these tender mercies to us. But not just that, but also loving kindness. Now this word is very rich. It is the Hebrew chesed, which covers a whole idea of goodness, loyalty, faithfulness, mercy, and love. Do we not experience all these things from the Lord each day? Well, later on, the psalmist would indeed elaborate on this. I'll carry on. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? Now, here, when you talk about this mouth, please do not just take the mouth as the physical mouth that we eat. Right, because there's another word for mouth in the Hebrew that talks about the physical mouth. But it's of course true that the food that we have every day comes from the Lord. Right, we ought to give thanks for it, and He gives us enough to last through the day, enough for us to do His will. But here also talks about how He also grants us enough provision in all other aspects of our life, whether be physical or spiritual. What we need, He satisfies us now. Of course, what we need, when we use the word what we need, is not in our thinking what we need, but in God's thinking of and perception of what we need, that He gives us. And we find great satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why David can write in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want, I shall not want, I am fully satisfied. All I need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that I need is already fulfilled." Next, he says, "So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now, what does it mean by that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Now, there are many times where I read these words and then I skip. It's only recently then I read somewhere and then I realized that, for eagles, when they are young, do you know that there is this process called molting of the feathers? As they get older and more experienced, they will start to shed some of their feathers. They don't shed it all at one go. That is a myth. And some Christian books like to allegorize things, and they will try and push things to the limit and say things that are not true. But what actually happened for the egos is this, that as they get older, and as they start flying, some of their feathers will have wear and tear. Everything will have wear and tear. And as they get older, these feathers that are already worn and torn, they are no longer useful. And so they will go to one side, and then they will shed their feathers right along the way. And after that, they will start to grow new feathers. And these new feathers will allow them to continue their life as an eagle and to surmount new challenges. And what a beautiful picture this is also of how the Lord deals with us. Sometimes in this life, we may feel so worn and out. But God, through His Word and through various means, through His providence, refreshes us and grants us the grace, the strength to overcome the challenges of this life, to serve Him and to glorify Him. Well, is that not true? Well, in fact, we are going to have one session of spiritual refreshment very soon at the church camp. Now, a church camp, you must realize, is not possible without God. If there is no Word, if there is no Christ, if there is no God, church camp will never be refreshing. But because of God and His Word, when we go to church camp, then our spirits are encouraged, are renewed in Him to continue to press on in the faith. How wonderful! And we keep receiving all these benefits. We have received it in the past, and we will continue to receive it. How wonderful. Should we not give thanks to the Lord because of all these personal benefits of His personal dealings with us? But not just that, but David, like every good preacher, would like to tie this whole psalm like a ribbon. He begins by reminding us that when we praise God, we must praise God for who He is. And in the remaining verses of this psalm, he would like to once again elaborate why we should praise God for who He is. Verse 6 tells us how the Lord is a God of justice. Because He is a just God, He executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Yes, in this world, because of our stand for Christ, and because the world hates Christ, very often we are oppressed. But we know that the Lord will one day vindicate. Judgment is with Him. And that we can read in the book of Revelation. And God is a judge, not like the judges of this world. The judges of this world may make mistakes because they are but human, and human will err, but not God. God, when He judges perfectly. And He is the great advocate of the saints. He is not blind. He is still on the throne. And this is not something that is new. This was something that you can see, right, even in history. And the history which David brings us brings up for our remembrance is none other than the Exodus. He talks about how in the times of Exodus, the children of Israel were oppressed, yet God delivered the children of Israel. Yet despite this deliverance, despite God showing His righteousness and His judgment over the Egyptians and over the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, the people of the children of Israel, they were very unthankful. And while they were in the wilderness, they often rebelled and they often complained against God. Now, how did God deal with them? Well, here in all the verses, all the way until verse 17, you will realize that the emphasis of these verses deals with how deals with the compassion and loving kindness of God. Yes, that term, loving kindness, that very rich term, describing the goodness of God. He is compassionate, He is long-suffering, He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous, bountiful in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. In other words, when we repent from our sins, yes, we may suffer the consequences for our sin, but He will also restore us and He will also lift us up. And this can be seen throughout the history of Israel. Well, if you study the history of Israel, you will often see these four things happening. Well, very often the children of Israel would rebel against God. Then God would rebuke them. Then after that, when they repent, God would restore them. Right? Rebel, rebuke, repent, restore. Now, God's anger did not abide on them forever. When they repent, God is always very quick to forgive them and to restore them back to a right fellowship with Him. And so therefore, David continued to write, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, true. Well, you just look at how in the New Testament when people lie to God, how they are struck dead. Well, we are not struck dead, we are still here. He is very long-suffering towards us, and indeed, He hath not dealt with us after our own sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, and the way He did that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear Him. Yes, who are those that fear Him? Must be those who are true believers. And when they fear Him, when they repent and they come to Him, He will quickly forgive. And the way He forgives, it's not the way people will sometimes regard forgiveness. I forgive, but I do not forget. Not God. Because when He forgives, He will remove our iniquities as far as the east is from the west. Well, the east will never meet the west. Once He says, I forgive, He will really forgive. And He will not hold it accountable to us anymore. And not only just that, but the way He treats us in our life is so gentle. He knows that as men, we are just but dust. He's not like some high ivory professor sitting in his tower up there, not knowing what is happening on the ground. He knows and understands our struggles. And so therefore, here, verse 13, God's word says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Wow, you look at how fathers and mothers care for their children, right? Fathers, those that are loving fathers. Sometimes the children are naughty, yes, they will scold. But oftentimes when they repent and then they struggle, you look at how tender the fathers would handle them. Those of you who are fathers and those of you who are mothers, if you are loving father and mothers, you will understand this very well. And therefore, when you deal with your child, right, when your child cries and then you go to him and then you sayang him, you cuddle him, and then when he has challenges, you go beside him and then you help him. How, when you do so, remember that this is also a picture of how God the Father also helps us. We are like these struggling children. But God covers us under His shadows of His wings. He guides us along. He shows us the way. He grants us the grace necessary for each day. What a compassionate God we have. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows that as men, our days are as grass. And here, the word man here is not a usual word for man. It emphasizes on the transient nature of man. Truly, just like grass, right? You see the grass there? Sometimes the grass, they will grow, and after a while, right, it dies. Right? So it is for us. The wind passes over, it's blow, and then after that, it is no more. But because of the Lord, because of the chesed of the Lord, verse 17, the word mercy is the word chesed. Because of the mercy, chesed of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. Well, the rest of the world is true. After their life, they are gone just like this. But for us who are Christians, that's not the case. We know that we have a place in heaven. We know there are mansions there reserved for us. We know that we will continue to praise Him and be joyful in Him for eternity. And all this is only possible because of God's loving kindness, because of His goodness, because of His mercy, because of His grace, because of His faithfulness to His word, because of His loyalty to us. Because of His righteousness. And this extends from to children's children. Well, all generations of Israel, not just that, but also to all generations of men. That very same gospel is preached to all, men for all. Be it Jew or Gentile. If only men will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace Him. Well, because of the Lord's justice, because of the Lord's loving kindness, therefore we praise Him. Therefore we give thanks. But that's not just all. For David ends off, right, finally in verses 19 to 22. Right, before that though, verse 18, right, another important point to take note is to such as keep His covenant. Right, you want to give thanks? Yes, the best way to give thanks really is to obey all that God has done, all that God has commanded and said in His word. Don't just say, I remember. You say you remember, but you don't do that. It's not called remember. Right? But you must keep, you must guard, and you must obey. But lastly, in verses 19 to 22, we see not only just that not only because of the Lord's loving kindness, not only because of the Lord's justice, but also because that of the Lord's sovereignty over all. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared His throne. Now when you say have prepared, means His throne is already established, it's already founded in the heavens. Nobody can remove Him. He rules over all. There's nothing that is outside of His dominion. There's nothing outside of His control. And simply because He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, should we not therefore render our thanks to Him? And this King of kings and the Lord of lords is not like any dictator in this world. You know, a lot of dictators in this world, once they become dictator, they abuse those that are under them, but not the Lord. The Lord looks after us very well. Right? You must look at the whole picture. Remember His loving kindness. Remember how He exercised justice to be our advocate, to vindicate us. This King of kings, Lord of lords, deserve all praise and all glory, deserve all worship, because Him alone is worthy of all worship. And so therefore, in verse 19, verse 20, it says here, bless the Lord, ye His angels. Now, David is very careful. Now, which type of angels? Those that excel in strength, not only that, but excel in strength, that do His commandments. So not the evil angels. Why? Not the fallen angels, not the devil, not Satan, because they will always want to rebel against God. They will not want to praise Him. But all these good angels, yes, day and night, they will sing praises unto Him. They will hearken unto the voice of His word. not only just that, but all ye his hosts, right, the heavenly hosts, and ministers of his. Now, this would refer to religious ministers. And in some sense, all of us are also religious ministers, because are we not a priest in the Lord Jesus Christ? And whatever that we do in this world, we are presenting a religious service unto God. And so everyone that is religious ministers, do his pleasure, do whatever is to the that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever that he acknowledges as right. And bless the Lord, therefore, all his works. In all places of his dominion. And where are the places of dominion? Everywhere. Whole creation will join in the thanksgiving and praise of God. And if all creation is commanded to join in the praise and in the worship and in the thanksgiving of God, why should we not also join in this great chorus? We must. We must give thanks. We must give praise. Simply because of whom God is. Because he is just. Because he is so loving and so kind. And because he is our sovereign God. And this sovereign God has rendered so many benefits unto us. He has treated us so well. We have received of his goodness. How dare we show any form of ingratitude? And so therefore, as we come this day on Thanksgiving Sunday, may the Lord rebuke us of our forgetfulness. May the Lord remind us how we must always give thanks, and to give thanks without ceasing. Let us not be like the examples listed in the weekly, the self-esteeming elder, those that do not want to receive God's word, those who are not humble, but expect the Lord to give thanks to them. But in all our ways, let us show our gratefulness towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way to do it really is to present ourselves as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. May God help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks for thy word which you have given to us. And indeed, we want to give thanks for all that you have done in our lives. But not just that, Father, but it's because thou alone art worthy of all worship and thanksgiving. And so we humbly come to thee, and we pray that as thy children, you will help us never to forget all that you have done, never to forget thee, but always cause us to be in the spirit of thanksgiving and prayer. Help us each step of the way in our life as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.